It's good to come together to affirm life. That's what we're about today. That's what unity's about, isn't it? Very much so about affirming life, about seeing the goodness in life, and calling forth the goodness in life, appreciating life. And all of that allows us to feel more alive, to feel more of that oneness with the spirit of truth that we are. Sometimes we get confused or waylaid or off the mark, right? Once in a while, we forget about affirming life. Things happen in our lives and we get kind of caught up in those, or we think that there must be something better than what is before us right in this moment. Such was the case with the young maiden who a king gave this wonderful gift. He had just wanted to bring favor to her for whatever reasons, and he gave her this large bag of pearls of great value. And he said, you may keep one of those pearls, but here's the way it's got to go. You're going to take one pearl out at a time, and you can decide in that moment whether you're going to reject that pearl or that's the one you're going to keep. And if you reject it, that's it. You can't take it back. You have to go for another one. She was all for the game. She's going to get to go away with a beautiful pearl, pretty exciting, and unexpected wealth and luck she's feeling. So she dives into the bag and she pulls out this gorgeous pearl. I mean, luminescent, beautiful, large, great pearl. And she thinks, wow, if that's my first draw, you know there's going to be some better pearls in here, right? So she decides to let it go. She dives in again and she brings out another one. Pretty gorgeous pearl. Not quite up to par with the first, but it is beautiful. And she thinks there must be another one in here. So she lets it go. And so it goes like this over and over again, each time digging deeper into that bag, thinking there must be another one in here that is even better than this one. But pretty soon the bag's getting light and the pearls are getting smaller and dirtier and more flawed. Occasionally she even pulls out a pebble. And she comes to the end of the bag. It is empty. She's rejected all of them and she goes away empty-handed. It's so much like life, isn't it? So much like the world that we live in, where we are constantly told that more is better, that there is something better to reach for. Even in our own spiritual teachings, we can kind of take it a little too far with the becomingness, can't we? Where we think it's just always, there's always more to be and better to be. And certainly that is a part of the juice of life. But it can get a little overdone. And our society will mirror that, because underneath those lack beliefs that say more is better or never enough or you are not worthy, right? But yet that pearl of great price is, of course, the divinity within us. Richard Rohr calls it the immortal diamond. We could call it the immortal pearl. It is that very essence, that value, that sense of life, that heartbeat of life that is inside of us, that is also one with a divine spirit that comes forth from that source. And it's that that we want to affirm. It's that truth that we want to affirm in us, in each other, and in all life. In the 12 powers of humankind, one of our key unity teachings, life is one of those powers. If you're not familiar with the 12 powers, they include things like faith and love and wisdom and strength, understanding, and life itself, one of those powers. It's located in the reproductive organs. It's part of that creativity, that physical creativity and co-creation power. And it's, of course, more than the physical. It's the spiritual. It's the mental. It's the emotional. It's the whole beingness. It's the individual and the collective, the very power of life. It's red in color to remind us of our humanity, of our physicality, but also our physicality that rests in spirit, in truth. The power of life is life itself, physical experience, and so much more. And so it's activating this power that allows vibrancy and vitality and creativity to come forth for us. It's in the thinking and the feeling and the speaking and the acting from this truth that we affirm life. When will the kingdom come? The disciples asked Jesus. And in the Gospel of Thomas, he said, the kingdom of God is spread upon the earth. You just don't see it. The kingdom of God is already here. It's spread upon the earth. You just don't see it. So often we think we need to transcend this world, right? We look around the world, we think, oh boy, we're in trouble. There's a lot of terrible things going on in the world. We just need to transcend it. And there is something to that idea of transcendence. But what Jesus is calling us to in this saying in the Gospel of Thomas is to see it, it's here, it's spread upon the earth. It's everywhere present. Even in the things that we say, oh, how awful that is, how terrible that is that that's happened, how it breaks my heart to think about this or that or to hear this news or that news. And we can all kind of collectively get into that place that tamps down life. And our work is instead to say, wait a second, the kingdom of God is spread about the earth. It's everywhere present. And so I can see it, I can hear it, I can feel it, if only I am willing, if only I am open, if only I am available to it, to that very essence of life, and to appreciate it, to affirm it, to know it. It's being present, right? It's being, when we are present in the moment, we become more aware of that life. When we slow down, we become more aware of that life. When I worked at Silent Unity, Unity's prayer ministry, you know, the work is being steeped in prayer, affirmative prayer, 8 hours a day. You're just affirming, affirming, affirming. It's got to have a good effect, right? And then you get a half hour where you sit in this meditation chapel where people have been praying for decades and decades, 24 hours a day. So you're constantly in this kind of energy. You still can bring your troubles. I'm not saying that. You can still have your days when even affirmative prayer gets tiring, believe it or not. But for the most part, there is an openness, there is an awakeness, there is an alertness to life that can occur when we are steeped in that kind of practice. And I remember once, I'd never really seen an orchid up close or noticed it at that time, and I walked past one in the prayer room as I was coming back from the prayer vigil. It was like walking past these flowers, you know, and noticing, oh, you know, normally I'd walk past them and I'd think, oh, those are really beautiful. And I would stop to smell them because I always stop to smell the roses. In fact, I can't help myself. Yeah, pretty nice. But that day, I remember this flower just drew me, and I really spent a few moments looking at the flower, and so much so that I felt like, oh my gosh, we need to cover her up. She is so exquisite. You know, so it's that kind of stopping and noticing the profound beauty of life that moves us, that allows us to feel life, to recognize life, to affirm it. It's that kind of beholding that affirms life. That noticing that, oh yeah, isn't that pretty, is one thing, is one level, right? But the stopping, the noticing, the being with, the appreciation, the gratitude we give, that affirms life, allows it to fully blossom. And it's true for us, it's true for each other, it's true everywhere present, right? It's the flowers and the grasses and the trees and the human beings of earth, the animals of earth, all of it, all of life. We've got our work cut out for us. If we said, you know what, as spiritual beings, as folks in this unity community, on this path, our charge collectively is to go out there and affirm life, we will all be very, very busy because there is so much to see and experience and affirm and lift up and be grateful for and allow to come alive very, very much right in front of us. Have you ever given someone a compliment and it's like as if you just watered a flower? It just resonated for them, it hit home, and somehow they just seem to almost blossom right there in your presence. And then it's really fun when it's a love fest and it goes back and forth, right? And you're both just blooming and vibrating, you know? So it's that bringing forth, it's that speaking to, it's that seeing of life and calling it forth that is the charge of our work as people who walk this path of affirmative prayer. Now, this Thursday, we have our World Day of Prayer. We've been doing this for, I don't know how many years, I've lost count actually, that Unity has a World Day of Prayer, 24-hour period where we speak the names of all the people who have written in and sing and pray together and lift up together the whole world it's a beautiful experience. At Unity Village, there's this whole ceremony and then a walking of the light back to the Silent Unity Chapel where people follow and then they go in the chapel and they read the names. It's so beautiful. And we do it here on Thursday night of World Day of Prayer Week. Every time we gather together. So we gather together in celebration of affirming our world, of affirming our individual lives, of affirming our community and everyone else in it and beyond all life. In Thomas 5, it also says, recognize what is in your sight and what is hidden will become clear to you. So really, Jesus turns it all on its head, right? When we go into the Gospel of Thomas, we get the other angle. Often we talk about, you know, it comes from within. We see from within. And he's saying, no, look out. Look out and see it out there. And then what is hidden inside of you will arise. When you look out and you see the beauty around you, when you affirm the beauty in your brothers and your sisters and siblings all around the planet, then the clarity will come. The knowing will come. The hidden treasure will be revealed to you. So the beholding can be done in lots of different ways, right? When we see with our physical eyes, we tend to see more crisp, clear images. Sometimes we need glasses for that, but we tend to see, you know, the hard outlines of things. But if we look instead with a soft focus, we see differently. If we intentionally move about our days with a soft focus, something different happens. There is a more open, expansive kind of beholding and holding space, a kind of seeing both the individual in front of us, but also the wholeness of that energetic being. And something shifts in that. It's a way of affirming life that helps us. It allows us to get to that place of affirming life. When I was a new minister, I got a little bit overwhelmed with all the needs that people had and all the concerns and heavy stories I would hear. And I thought, well, I have to do something differently because I'm just not going to be able to handle all this. And so I began to imagine for myself when somebody approached me to tell me what was going on in their lives, I actually imagined that my ears were enormous, like Dumbo ears, but in human form. And it really helped. It really helped. It was like this, and I heard them in a different way. It's not that I was like, you know, concentrating on every word and detail. It was more like a hearing of the whole being. And so I could trust then that the salient points would be remembered or land. But in the meantime, the person was given much more space than just a listening with the human ears. And so it's really just with those two things, a softening of our focus and an expansion of our hearing, which is really, you know, you see me doing this, which is really just an opening of the heart, right? And listening from that space. And so it's easy, really, it's simple to take a few different ways that we can go out into the world and say, I am a affirmer of life. I am a co-creator of life. I am a rebirther of life. I am somebody who is calling forth a life, who is seeing the life, who is seeing the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God that is spread upon the earth. And I do that by simply being present right here in the moment. It's not about what I'm becoming. It is about that, but we're not focused on that so much when we're present, when we're grounded, when we're just allowing ourselves to affirm life. So appreciating what is around us brings forth more clarity. Those hidden treasures become known for us. It's in the ordinary, everyday life that the mundane becomes infused with the sacred, or we can make it so by our willingness to be able to go to that place. The Zen layman Peng said in the 8th century, my daily affairs are quite ordinary, but I'm in total harmony with them. I don't hold on to anything. I don't reject anything. Nowhere is there an obstacle or conflict. Who cares about wealth and honor? Even the poorest thing shines. My miraculous power and spiritual activity, drawing water and carrying wood. What if throughout our day we thought about everything we were doing as our miraculous spiritual power? Think about your day, all the things you do every day, seemingly so mundane, right? Getting dressed in the morning, doing your dishes, making your breakfast, whatever it is that you do, sitting in your garden. I mean, you is your day, right? Taking your shower, whatever it is that you do. What if you approached it as if it was fresh and new and miraculous? I had a friend who was making her transition over a long period of time, and she was aware of that. And she said, everything is so alive. She said, when I stand in the shower and I feel the water begin to fall on my head, I feel absolutely exhilarated. I feel it. I notice it as it rolls down my body. I'm toweling off in the miracle of life and the appreciation of this body, of this incredible, magnificent creation and gift I have been given. Her gift to all of us who listened was to be reminded of the miracle of life in every moment, to be the bringer of life, the affirmer of life, the appreciator of life. It can change everything. It can heal everything. It can transform anything. And most of all, we're not changing anything. We're just bringing forth the truth. We're just naming it and claiming it and speaking to it. There's a Japanese story that Stephen Mitchell tells in the Gospel According to Jesus. And I'm just going to read it right from his. The subtitle is A New Translation and Guide to His Essential Teachings for Believers and Non-Believers. Oh, it's interesting, when I look at you with my reading glasses, you're a little out of focus, so I'm getting to practice what I preach. 150 years ago, there lived a woman named Sono, whose devotion and purity of heart were respected far and wide. One day, a fellow Buddhist, having made a long trip to see her, asked, "What can I do to put my heart at rest?" Sono said, "Every morning and every evening and whenever anything happens to you, keep on saying, 'Thank you for everything. I have no complaint whatsoever.'" The man did as he was instructed for a whole year, but his heart was still not at peace. He returned to Sono, crestfallen. "I've said your prayer over and over, and yet nothing in my life has changed. I'm still the same selfish person as before. What should I do now?" Sono immediately said, "Thank you for everything. I have no complaints whatsoever." And on hearing these words, the man was able to open his spiritual eye and return home with great joy. Sometimes it takes being affirmed ourselves so that we can feel and experience it before we are able to really carry it forward. We need each other. We need each other. We need to be loved as well as to love, to be appreciated as well as to appreciate. And so it was when the man felt it, when he experienced what it was like to be thanked for his complaints, and to have this person say, "No complaints whatsoever," having borne witness to his concerns, he got it. He understood what it was like to be affirmed in the truth of his being. And we can do that for anyone, anywhere. It's powerful stuff. These teachings are about this, about affirming life, whether we are practicing in the literal sense what we say affirmative prayer, or we're just, it is affirmative prayer, right? When we are speaking truth, that is a prayer. When we speak truth, thank you is a prayer. No complaints whatsoever is an affirmation. It's in the negative, but it's still an affirmation, right? And then we can move to the truth that we want to speak, that we want to make firm, which is what an affirmation is. So expanding heart, opening heart, softening focus, whatever we praise increases. Happiness studies show that happy people are people who practice gratitude. And there's one level of happiness that they see distinctly that shows up over and over again when people feel gratitude. And then the level of happiness spikes when people not only feel it, but say it, express it. So whenever you find yourself wanting to say something kind and encouraging and truthful and joyful and complimentary, and you hold yourself back, think about that. I'm holding myself back from happiness. I'm holding myself back. And instead, here's the opportunity to affirm life before me. We don't know how it will be received, and it's really none of our business. It doesn't matter, because that it could be a seed of goodness for that person who maybe isn't ready to receive. Or it could be like you just watered a plant and watched it grow right in front of you. We're not here to be attached to the outcome. We're here to affirm life. Wherever it takes hold, we just keep on blessing and bringing it forth. Daniel's going to tell a beautiful story, I hope, again. Are you telling that same? You're doing the same one? Yeah. He's going to tell a story about, I'm not going to ruin the story. You see what I'm saying about that very point. I met a man recently, and he was struggling through a situation, and I said, how would it be if we took this action? And he said, that would feel like spring. And in that moment, I came alive. Because I know what spring feels like, don't you? It was poetry in motion. It was spirit in action. It was an ability to see into that place and bring into the room the feeling of spring. That's what affirming life is like. Even in the midst of very difficult circumstances, even in the midst of great conflict, we can say, you know what? What if we did this? And then we might say, it would feel like spring. What if I said this to that person? It might feel like spring. It will for me. You know the story of the Greek goddesses Demeter and Persephone? And Demeter is the mother of Persephone, and Persephone is abducted and goes down to Hades, and Demeter is angry because her daughter has been taken from her, and there's a whole thing that goes on with Zeus and so on. I won't go into all the details, but the negotiation ends with Persephone gets to come back for 2/3 of the year. And so during the time that Demeter has been grieving and been angry, winter comes, and the whole earth becomes barren and seemingly lifeless. And Zeus is really worried about the existence of humanity. And so he finally agrees, and they negotiate, and Persephone gets to come back. And so Persephone comes back, but because of the arrangements of things that have happened and the pomegranate seeds that have been eaten and so on, she has to go back to Hades for 1/3 of the year, but comes back to Earth 2/3 of the year. And when she comes back, it's spring. That's the beginning of spring. And everywhere that Persephone walks upon the earth, the flowers bloom. That's what it's like when you move through the world as an affirmer of life, a giver of life. Wherever you walk, the flowers are blooming. That's how important you are. That's how impactful your words are, your actions are, your thoughts are, your feelings are. And so if we align all of that with affirmative truth, we bring spring to all souls, including our own. That's really what it's all about, isn't it? That's what we're about, I think. Howard Thurman said, don't ask yourself what the world needs. Ask yourself what makes you come alive and do that. Because what the world needs is for people to come alive. I don't know if you know about Howard Thurman. I bet you do. In 1899, he was born, literally right at the turn of the century. And when he was 14 years old, he went off on his own for a better life, for the things that he didn't have available to him in Florida at the time. And he packed up with great excitement, and he came to the train station, and he was absolutely brokenhearted and crestfallen to find out that he didn't have the fare needed to get on that train. And he started crying. And a man came up and said, why are you crying? And when he told him, he paid his fare. And thank God that man affirmed life on that day, because Howard Thurman became the man that he was, that became spiritual advisor to to such luminaries as Martin Luther King Jr., who met Gandhi in person, who educated all kinds of young people at Boston University and other places by asking the deep questions like, who are you really? And who do you want to be? Who wouldn't love to be in that class as a young person? He said he dedicated his autobiography to that anonymous man on the train platform by saying, he restored my broken dreams. We never know in the midst of our intentions to go out into life and to affirm life and to be that very affirmation of life, to be that spring in every step, to be the voice of hope and possibility and faith and goodness and appreciation. We never know that we might be restoring somebody's broken dreams. And by doing so, that we unleash them to their complete potential and purpose and passion in life. So we might as well just be it, because we never know what's going to come of it. But all that really will is goodness, right? And life. Yes. So the apex of aliveness is experienced when we open to, when we live life, when we look at the kingdom of God that is spread upon the earth, and we see it, and we recognize this clarity, this treasure within us that is stirring, and we affirm life, and we appreciate what we see, and we speak that truth, and we act that truth, and we appreciate it for ourselves and what is in us, and the miracle of every day, of every action that we take, that is infused with sacred. That's how we affirm life. There's a lot of different ways. I've spoken to many of them today, and it's only scratching the surface. But it's our work to do. The world needs our affirmations. The world needs that aliveness. And we can do what makes us come alive by finding, doing more of what literally makes each of us individually come alive, and also by being this affirmative presence in the world. So let's go out there and do that very thing. I invite you to affirm it with me. Wherever I affirm life, it comes alive and blossoms. I breathe life into life. So it is.